Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, baby.
Let's go.
Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left. That's the famous Jordan Schultze on the ones and twos. Welcome in. It's baseball. Everything seems super easy right now. Somebody sassed me earlier today, how's the show? And I said the show writes itself.
Gabsida. That's Korean for let's go.
Look at you. You picking up some Korean?
No, I just Googled it.
I was going to say, isn't your girlfriend Japanese?
No, you racist bastard. He is.
He is.
She.
Did you just say we stepped out of the shower?
He. I said he. She is half Korean, half Filipino.
And gotcha.
Boy, the 23andMe put no debate on that. I think it was her.
Just nailed it down.
I think it was her brother got it, and she showed it to me, and it was like, yeah, like 48.9% Korean and then 51.1% Filipino. And
this
it's like, wow. Like me, it's like split up between 20 different kinds of white.
Well, that's what happens when you're what?
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 Yeah. So she is Korean and Filipino, but no, she does not know any Korean, nor Tagalog or any sort of Filipino dialect.
So one of my best friends, she is Vietnamese, and her younger brother is also a really close friend of mine. And it's funny, growing up in high school and even to this day as adults, my bestie, her mom's is completely fluent in Viet, and they talk in Viet.
Is that how you say that? Viet? I speak Viet?
You speak Vietnamese. Okay. I'm just shortening it.
All right.
Because I'm what?
Making it easy. You don't have time for big words and full words.
And it's so funny because she will converse with her mom in Viet, and I don't think she is as fluent as her mom by any means, but she can have the conversation with her mom in Vietnamese. Her mom does speak a little bit in English, but her younger brother, it's hilarious because she will like yell at him, especially when we were younger. She would yell at him in Vietnamese, and he was just like, yeah, mom, I know, stop.
That's like, classic.
He can't speak a lick of Vietnamese, but he knows what she's saying when she's yelling at him.
I had a friend.
So it's like, yo, bro, like, how can you not, like, put those words together and be able to form sentences? No, can't speak a lick of Vietnamese, but can get scolded by his mother and know exactly what she's mad. Not like, oh, I stayed out late, so she's probably yelling at me about being late. She was like, no, I told you to clean the dishes and you didn't do that. I told you to put gas in the car. You didn't do that. You are a POS. And he's like, I love you too, mom. And then walks away.
It's like a movie you've seen over and over again, though. You've heard that lecture over and over again. Yeah.
Dude, I had a buddy in high school where it was same thing. Like, he was Hispanic. I'm pretty sure his family was from Mexico. And same thing. She would just be chewing him out, like going off to him in Spanish. She'd be like, oh, my God, mom, stop. You're like, I'm like, dude, what is she saying? I want to know what is getting her to have you sound like this.
And then I would ask my buddy, I was like, yo, what is your mom saying? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, you know what she's saying, dude.
Boy, I wish I had Google Translate back then. Just hold the phone up. I'm like, dude, you're going to take that from her?
Yeah, you just hold the phone and then you get it back and it's like,
oh, dude.
Whoa, dude.
She's roasting your ass.
Whoa, dude.
She just torched you, dude.
Why don't you just put gas in the car, dude? We drove by 3 gas stations on the way home.
Yeah, so I do not know the Korean. There was a part of me that wanted to try and learn Filipino. And then I gave up on that because I heard it was one of the hardest languages to learn. So I was like, all right, I'm good there. There's like some sort of diagram or something I was reading one day of like, what are the easiest languages to learn as a English speaker?
Oh, I was going to say the answer is English.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know. Have you seen those videos of the guy on Instagram where he's like, all right, this word is ear. All right. Oh, yeah. And if we put a B in front of it,
it's bear.
And he's like, beer? And he's like, no, it's bear. Because and then he tries to do pear. And same thing. He's like, is it peer? He's like, no, it's pear.
Jennifer poops at parties and everybody knows this. Why does she not close the door?
The water closet. So, yeah, I got to find that list because I think the hardest language was any sort of Chinese.
Which is funny because there's all these immersion programs. Like, I have some friends that had kids long before most of our friends had kids. So some of them are, like, walking into high school, and they've been in Mandarin immersion programs for years, and they can basically speak Mandarin.
I was calling out my nephew over the weekend because my sister has him in a one of the international schools, I think, over off of Barber in Southwest. And they're like, no, yeah, he is considered bilingual. You know, he can. And I was like, dude, I bet you if I ask him a long-winded question, like, how do you feel about the geopolitical ramifications of Israel-Palestine? He'd be like, no bueno.
No bueno.
Like, he would not be able to do.
No bueno.
I was like, I am not buying that my nephew is dual language at this point. All
Donde
right?
está la biblioteca? Yeah, yeah. Esta es no bueno.
Yeah, well, parents just want to think their kid's the smartest one.
You know, I did have.
Can I use El Baño?
You know, I did have a very interesting moment. The wife and I were in Europe last summer, and we were in Paris. We stopped at this little patisserie for her to get. She wanted to get some dessert.
A what? A patisserie?
A patisserie. Yeah, it's basically a pastry shop.
Oh.
But it was at night because she wanted to get some, like, macarons and get some dessert.
That's what the accent is.
I know, dude. It's like, well, what would you like to order, sir? I would like 2 orders of the carne asada burrito, please.
Give me one of the macaroons.
Well, macaroons and macarons are different, but that's a whole different
And topic. So she goes, yeah. And she had been like teaching me some French. So I learned the phrase parlez-vous anglais, which means do you speak English?
Yes.
Como se dice, you know, it's kind of a situation like that. And she was like, I'm going to run in here and get some stuff, because she speaks okay French. She goes, I'm going to run in and get them some stuff. Can you get us a taxi? And I was like, baby, I love you. I sure will hell try. And so I flag a cab down. He rolls down the window, and I go, parlez-vous anglais? And he looks at me, and he goes, no. And I was like, oh, God.
What did I just say?
And then it clicked, and I went, parlez-vous espagnol? And he goes, sí, amigo. And I went, oh, my God. I just started yelling, oh, my God. Necesito mi esposa está en, you know, and I just kind of, because I got a little bit of Spanish in me, and it was the most exciting thing I'd ever been a part of, that I'm talking to this dude who turns out he's from, like, India, but speaks French and Spanish and not English, and I just got lucky that he understood Spanish.
In another country.
Parlez-vous espagnol? And it was like the Michael Jordan shrug. Huh? And he went, sí, amigo.
On the Vancouver Ford.
And he got us back.
Had a buddy who spoke Farsi.
Oh, yeah.
Always sounded like he was fighting with family while talking. According to him, it was casual convo.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you hear German, like German is all spoken at the front of your mouth, so
sounds
it comes
angry.
Out very angry, but it's really not. And it's like, I've had a wonderful day. How are you, beautiful?
Yeah, it's like, I couldn't be more happy. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of German lately, going down the World War II rabbit hole on Netflix.
I had a German woman call me today to try to book a reservation at the old pub in October.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I would like to confirm via email. Can you tell me your email address? And boy, that was a big struggle because I had to spell some things out. And she was like, okay, T as in T-H-R-A. And I was like, okay, that's theater. Yep, you're correct. She was like, I as in you and I. And I was like, yes. And then she goes, L as in Ludwig. And I was like, well, yep.
Yes.
L as in Ludwig. Okay. R as in Rammstein, and I was like,
yes.
I was like, this is insane.
H and then
I
said, as in, stop there.
And then I said, A as in apple. And she
or
goes,
Adolf. No, she no, goes, not like goes, that at all.
And then she thought my Y was a U, was a V. She goes, Y as in Victor? And I said, no, Y as in yesterday? And she goes, oh, our language is very different. I was like, yep, yep, I got you, lady. I got you,
lady. Good for you.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a show for you tonight. This is baseball, like we like to say. This thing writes itself these days. There's a lot to get to. Would you be shocked to hear that we already know what the White Sox plans are next year? Also, what do the Dodgers plans look like this year? With their new stuff going on, plus, can there be an MVP in the National League that is not Shohei Ohtani? There's a lot to get to, but I'd like to start with a little bit of front office drama in the old San Francisco Bay, and we'll get there next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. I've got Rob's Royals on the tube right now. They are currently in the top of the 10th, losing 2-1 to Detroit. I'll tell you what, never in my life would I have thought if you were a playoff contender and you looked at your schedule and saw Detroit and went, ah, crap. Never in my life.
My Tigers?
Your Tigers. Never in my life would I have thought that would have been a real deal.
Rawr, make the kitty purr. Let's go.
Like, the Yanks are looking at the Mariners right now going, man, at least it's not the Tigers.
It was pretty nuts, I think, the last week of August to just wake up and see the Mariners and the Tigers with the same exact record one day. It's like, what the hell happened?
I'm telling you, man, this Tigers team, they got an ace.
They do.
They got Riley Green. Maybe Torkelson figures it out. And AJ Hinch, despite turning a blind eye to a bunch of cheaters, pretty damn good manager.
And
Damn good manager.
That shouldn't be managing.
Probably. You are probably right.
And you determined this.
But that goes the same for Alex Cora, but he's still got a job and blah, blah, blah.
And the Tigers continue to shut the hopes of the Mariners down if they win this game.
I've learned people must really hate Carlos Beltran. Because if Alex Cora and AJ Hinch have jobs and Beltran doesn't, that means I think people might not like Carlos Beltran.
Because he was so good?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But if Cora's still got a job, Hinch has got a job. Beltran had a job for like 5 days.
Yeah, for the Mets who are really, really good now. Was it the Mets?
I would hold back on the really, really good.
Hey, they beat your Nationals 10-1 today.
That's okay. My Nationals are a 3-year future bet.
You know, okay? I'm going to go with the fact that maybe Carlos Beltran hopped around a little bit more in his career, as opposed to like Alex Cora played for, I think, like 5 teams, but a couple of those years were just at the end of his career, kind of when he was finishing up. He was mostly a Dodger and a Red Sox. Very beloved in both spots, right?
I would love to see how many times Carlos Beltran was traded at the trade deadline. It's probably once, but boy, it feels like 6 or 7.
Well, God, he was a Yankee. He was a Royal. He was an Astro.
It's like, we're going on a run. Go get Beltran.
Seriously. God. I'm missing a team, too.
So we got a lot to get to today, like I was kind of teasing earlier. I mean, this is the best part about the season. You know, here we are on the 17th of September. Playoffs are 2 weeks away. You got fantasy playoffs going on right now, and also races, because I don't think really any award is truly cemented. So you've got guys trying to ball out for a last minute. Like, you see Blake Snell today?
I did not see Blake Snell.
Blake Snell threw 6 innings, 3 hits, 12 strikeouts.
What I saw was my Orioles absolutely throw up all over themselves and play like a bunch of little league bitches out there today.
That's what I'm saying. This is the last few weeks. Like, it's time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Can Class A beat Skubal for the Cy Young? Like, man, we got S going down right now.
Well, no, but Class A's good.
Ouch, that hurt.
Class A's good?
That hurt.
He's been dominant lately. I mean, he's been dominant the last 3 years.
This guy just said the Mets are really, really good, and Class A is just good.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He'll do.
But I want to get to this story that I thought was interesting. Speaking of the Giants and Blake Snell, who are not going to the playoffs, they seem to be kind of living a little bit in no man's land. They don't quite know what to do. They said no to Correa, which turned out to be the smart move. They went after Judge. They went after Ohtani. And their reward for that was Matt Chapman. Now, came across the wire the other day, Matt Chapman does get an extension. He agreed to a 6-year, $151 million extension for the Giants. But the interesting thing that I find, when the Giants won the World Series in 10, 12, 14, there was something that kind of really looked at that team as very structurally sound. Good fan base, great stadium, good front office. Obviously, they had Bochy. And then the Gabe Kapler stuff didn't go very well, even though I liked him there. And now they've got Bob Melvin, but they're still not really that good. So they worked this deal out. The most interesting thing about this deal is that they wanted Chapman. This is from Andrew Baggerly from The Athletic. This is a quote that Chapman wanted to be there, and the Giants wanted to be there, but Chapman and the GM, Zaidi, is that how you say it? Zaidi?
I believe
I think Zaidi.
So.
Yeah, Zaidi, don't like each other. Quote, sources interviewed for the story were granted anonymity in exchange for their candor about topics that were not authorized to address publicly. They described an ownership group that valued Chapman's shining work ethic as much as his steady contributions on the field, that viewed the 31-year-old as someone who could instill both continuity as well as a culture change, and that was adamant to avoid a repeat of last offseason when a standoff between the Giants and Boris lasted until mid-March. It was an ownership group that viewed re-signing Chapman as a slam dunk and did not trust Zaidi and Boris to finish at the rim. So what they did is they brought in Buster Posey,
who is now part of the ownership group.
And he went to Matt Chapman and said, hey, buddy, this is the deal. We think you should sign it. Being a Giant is amazing. And Chapman signed it. And then Chapman came out and said, there's a bunch of people around the league that are asking me, hey, is this a problem? Because I'd really love to come to San Francisco and play with you. I don't know if that's rhetoric, but you know what I mean. If there is some guys that are high-priced free agents that want to come, do you guys think that this is just a Boris Zaidi thing? Or is Zaidi in a little bit of trouble as the GM of the Giants?
Well, I think this might be a bit of over exaggeration, in the sense of that Zaidi is like a problem. I think that they've been aggressive going after players. I think it's been six seasons now that he's been the manager or the GM there, and it will be the third straight season of them missing the playoffs.
And that year they made the playoffs,
they were like
they scraped in.
Well, they also had the one season with the most wins in MLB.
Yeah,
with like 106 or something like
and
that.
And they lost. And they lost. First round.
Right, correct. Baltimore Orioles wouldn't know nothing about that. But I just think that is it's a little bit overblown, and that things just probably weren't getting done. And so it's like, hey, let's go to the bullpen. Let's call in the lefty that can throw flames, a.k.a. Buster Posey, Mr. San Francisco, Mr. Giant himself, and let's get this done. Because whatever was happening with Chapman and Boris, and also it's not like Chapman is in that room.
No, it's Boris. And let's be real. I mean, Jordan Montgomery's come out and said Boris cost him. That's why his season sucks, and yeah, he's not got a long-term deal.
I think his season sucks just because he sucks.
He sucks.
Yeah. And he gained like 30 pounds.
I would agree with you on that.
So I
would too if I win a World Series.
So I don't think...
Chicken wings. Yeah, let's roll, baby.
I'm probably with you on that. I'm putting on 20 or 30 pounds. I do that, and I don't even win a World Series. Yeah,
exactly.
So I think it's getting a little bit overblown, and then like there's stuff coming out that he was a little bit more involved, but that could be that this is damage control because of it getting out of hand as far as the headlines and the news. Something tells me that this is just a one-off, and that, you know, if he was really this bad at his job, would they have been able to get Blake Snell?
True. But it took a long time for Blake Snell, and that first half, he wasn't good. If you had Blake Snell and Logan Webb pitching like they're pitching now all year, you might be in a different spot. No. Probably not, because San Diego and Arizona are very, very good. Obviously, the Dodgers. But Blake Snell looked really bad.
And yeah, now for he a while. Looks,
now it's like, can I give Blake Snell the Cy Young in the National League because of how good he's been in the second half?
I don't know. That would be.
I'm not saying you should, but I like that question can be asked.
Yeah, I just think that also maybe Scott Boras is a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah, I gotta chime in and completely take the other side of what Joe's saying here. I'm not even going tinfoil hat with this. I do think there are problems in the front office between ownership and Zaidi. I think what final year of his contract, ownership negotiating in any type of way. A deal, yeah, Buster Posey, franchise icon or not, whoever from ownership is negotiating that deal with a player as opposed to the GM, I think that's a problem. And then the way that you're hearing it being refuted is from the agent most known for spin and lies in all of Major League Baseball history, Boris.
I would love for Boris to not be in this game.
I would agree with you, and it looks like he's kind of starting to be on his way out after the way that all his pitchers and position players had to take one-year deals, especially the likes of Jordan Montgomery, I think of, who's having a terrible season in Arizona. So Boris might be on his way out, but to hear him refuting it, saying that, the involvement of Buster Posey's being overblown, that's what Scott Boras is saying here? Stop it. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, especially as the Giants move forward. They got money to spend. They want to spend money. They've got, you know, a Patrick Bailey. They've got Logan Webb. They've got guys that are there for a while. It'll be interesting to see how they go forward. And if Zaidi is a problem, then maybe that's why Judge isn't there. Maybe that's why Otani's not there. Maybe that's why Correa's not there, even though I think they dodged a bullet on that. So I think for an organization that I think we all massively respect and look up to and love the stadium and the city and all that jazz, it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is in this, especially as they try to grab new free agents and rebuild for the future. All right, when we come back, I want to get into this. We'll stick in the same division. Don't look now, but I think there might be time for major, major concern for a team that spent $1 billion in the offseason. We'll get to that next, but first, we'll throw it over to Schultzy with sports. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll get into some just good old-fashioned rivalry. Some good old-fashioned smack-talking and doing stupid things, because stupid things are what these two stupid teams like to do. Plus, we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's like the two worst people you know trying to fight each other and kill each other. And it's like, well,
you're kind of like, well, I mean, I'll watch this.
Take each other out. You know, I'm not going to be exactly upset about it.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, I hated that guy more. But this year, I hate that guy
I'm down
more.
For a three-team AL East.
Just get rid of them all.
I'm down.
So we'll get to that in the second hour. But I want to stay here in the National League West as we just got done talking about Chapman and the Giants and what's going on. I mean, the National League West is the most fascinating division right now, in my opinion, because of the Diamondbacks and the Padres just playing out of their minds right now, trying to catch the Dodgers. Do you know, I saw a stat the other day. The Arizona Diamondbacks have the most runs scored in Major League Baseball. Number two is the New York Yankees. And the gap between the Diamondbacks and the Yankees is the same between the gap of the Yankees and the Reds. And the Reds have scored the 14th most runs in baseball.
That sounds about right, because it seems like the Reds, the last like few years, have had a decent offense, and right. Their pitching is just trash.
I just didn't realize that the pitching of Arizona was that bad. And then I saw that, and that night I saw him playing the Brewers, and it was in the 11th at 8-8. And I was like, well, there you go. That'll do it for you.
That'll do it.
But I want to get into the Los Angeles Dodgers, who spent $1 billion to put this team together. And Shohei's been incredible, and Mookie's been Mookie since he came back off the IL. And Freddie's been a little all over the place, but you have to think Freddie's going to be solid when the lights turn back on. Yamamoto is back, had a good outing the other day, seems to be kind of on track. But the big news concerning, if I'm a Dodger fan, and what scares the ever-living daylights out of me, is that Tyler Glasnow is done for the year with elbow issues. This is a guy that just came off of Tommy John, who looked unbelievable at the beginning of the season. He was my pick at the beginning of the year to be a Cy Young winner. He looked like he had it, and then things kind of weren't terrible but fell off a little bit, and then he got shut down, and now he's done. Is this not a major, major red flag for the Dodgers, or do you think this team has enough built in that they can withstand it?
This is a major red flag. I think it's because of the Dodgers the last few seasons. It seems like they've had multiple arm injuries over the last few years. Like, it seems like they are one of the teams that is that has been most hindered by arm injuries to their pitchers, like Walker Buehler. Now you got Glasnow.
Walker's looked a little rough.
Well, Yoshi's obviously missed some time this year. Dustin May, Gonsolin. I mean, there's like a lot of guys over the last few seasons, and I'm probably missing
Kershaw. Came back middle of the year.
It's concerning.
Had 0.1 innings thrown the other day.
It's a concerning trend for the Dodgers, but this is the biggest blow. Like, you could kind of weather the storm throughout the season. I think even earlier in the year, we were talking about how they were missing some arms, and it was like, they'll be fine. They'll get some of these back. Losing Glasnow for the season? Have fun in the playoffs. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, he's gone for a few weeks, but he'll be back for game one of the playoffs.
No, you're not going to have him. Like, so who's their one going into the playoffs? And Flaherty?
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Flaherty's been their best pitcher. It's probably Yamamoto. You probably line it up to be Yamamoto.
So you go Yamamoto, Flaherty.
Bueller.
Anyone? Yikes. Bueller.
Anyone?
I mean, Bobby Miller.
Oof.
Yeah, you might throw a young kid in as the three.
Bobby Miller's been so bad.
Where is he? I don't know.
I invested so much into him in a fantasy keeper league, and let me tell you how mad I traded Tyler Glasnow for Bobby Miller.
Yeah, giving up Pepiol in that trade with the Rays doesn't really look so good.
Doesn't really look so great. So then let me ask this. So then let's flip. Okay, so let's be real here. The Dodgers are in big trouble. Okay, we've gone on extensively all season that the top four batters of the lineup are great, but the rest is very suspect. Maybe you can go 50-50 on Teoscar at five, but the top four is solid and the rest is a little concerning. So do you think you walk into the playoffs going, look, Glasnow's toast, Kershaw's old, Buehler's clearly not there, Miller's a disaster right now. Do you just go in and say, screw it, let's see what we can do? Or do you think no matter what happens, there's massive blowback on the front office for spending $1 billion and on my second favorite manager in baseball named Dave Roberts?
I don't know if there's blowback because it just seems
you
like...
You think they can just look like, oh, like, bad luck of the draw?
I don't know what where the blame needs to fall, but I'm telling you, like, I'll have to pull up that handy dandy Tommy John Google sheet surgery list that I have. This is a trend for the Dodgers for the last few years. Like, they have had multiple arm injuries over the years that they are leading the league in. Last year, 15 pitchers used who have had Tommy John surgery. In 2022, let me click, 14, which was fourth highest in the league. Last year was the most in the league. A couple years ago, 12 guys that had previous arm surgeries, Tommy John surgery, and that was top 10 in the league. So, you know, whether they got those injuries before, during, after, I mean, being a Dodger or before or during their Dodger stint. But the fact that they're always near the top in the league with guys with arm injuries, with former Tommy John surgery, like, something tells me it's like, are you, like, not vetting this as well as you should in your trainer room, as your doctors,
medical staff?
I mean, you've caught consistently since 2021.
Do they have the Blazers staff when they had Oden and Roy?
Since the last four seasons, you have had multiple dudes on your team that have had arm injuries, and a lot of them. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's a matter of where the blame needs to be placed on management and how you are managing these arms. If there is so much pressure on this team to win a legitimate World Series, that
shots fired.
They are trying to field the best team possible and push some of these guys to pitch when they shouldn't be. Now, Glasnow's different. He was fine, right?
Like, he seemed to be fine. He had the full year off. He even pitched a little bit at the end of the season for the Rays before he was traded. Kind of shake them cobwebs off.
And he's been great this year. So that's where I wonder, you know, is it something in that franchise's training room where it's like they're just not doing as good of a job?
If I'm spending $1 billion on players, I would think I would probably want to spend $1 billion on that training room.
Yeah. But I know we got to go. You know what this sets up for? Shohei pitching in October, baby.
I'll tell you what, if Shohei comes out of the bullpen, it's going to be potentially the biggest must-watch baseball moment I've seen maybe in my entire life.
And the crowd goes berserk.
Yeah. What a tease from Dave Roberts.
Hey, I brought this up.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
I brought this up about a month ago when you were gone. And when Shohei was starting to pitch again.
Yeah, yeah. He was like doing bullpen sessions.
And I was like, dude, if we get him pitching in October, this is going to be the greatest season of all time.
And I shut you down. I totally was like, no freaking way that's going to happen.
I'm
like,
dude, please, for the love of God, make this happen.
Maybe his elbow is robot now.
And quite frankly, with what I just said about everything with the Dodgers in their arms, maybe don't have him throw.
Well, I would guess they did not, they being Shohei and his representation, did not release the kind of surgery that he got. It's either Tommy John or that newer age stabilization surgery on his elbow. They just said he had surgery. So
did he go to Germany and go to Kobe's doctors and just, you know, say what's up to a few things?
Go see Peyton Manning's neck surgery doctors.
Yeah, they're not stem cells, okay?
Platelet rich plasma stem cell infused.
These aren't
not
children injected into my veins. God. Dead children. Probably, yeah. Immigrants, if you catch my drift.
But yeah, he probably got the stabilization surgery, which does have a quicker... I think it's got like a 12 to 14th month recovery as opposed to like a 16 to 18th month for Tommy John. So
it'll be interesting. We'll get out on this real quick. Like, I find the Dodgers going into the postseason absolutely fascinating because I like have no idea what to expect. Are they the most fascinating team going into the playoffs?
They're very intriguing because
What the hell's going to happen?
Over the last few weeks, I have been holding pretty firm where I'm like, I think they're going to win it. I think that their offensive stars are going to rally this team. But how many times have we seen a great offense get to the playoffs and it's like, oh, their 1-4 hitters went 2-for-27. And the
Paging and Phillies last year, Paging
yes,
and the Phillies.
Like, it happens. Yeah. So I am just banking on the combination of Betts, Freeman, and Shohei to just do ungodly things in the postseason and take them to the promised land. But losing Bueller is like, or excuse me, losing Glasnow is just like total wind out of the sails moment. Like, F, what are we going to do?
Yeah, yeah. It could be worse, though. you could be a team that has decided next year, we're going to be worse than we are this year. And we might be the worst of all time this year. We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into Fair or Foul, which I am always a big fan of. Plus, I've realized that it's been 50 minutes of this show and I've yet to say something, so we'll get that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
You holding up okay?
I'm holding up okay. Yeah, yeah.
Prairie dogging it?
Not anymore.
Hey-o.
Now it's just a little turtle poking out.
Oh, good God.
CBS Sports' RJ Anderson came out and wrote an article about a conversation that Chris Getz, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, said about next year's season. He said, quote, "We're not going to be working heavy in free agency. We've got guys on the field right now who need to improve their game. A lot of young players who just need to make adjustments to be more productive." Now, if you had lost 115 games with 2 weeks to go and your GM said, "Spending money? Nah, we ain't doing that. We think our players need to be better." How would that resonate for you, Joseph Fisher III?
Kill me now.
Absolute kill me.
Dude.
Like, I once left my love, and I had to come crawling back. And there, here I am, as a proud Cleveland Indian fan still to this day. I didn't leave for those reasons. I left for lesser reasons. How on earth can you be a White Sox fan?
I don't know. They kind of got cool City Connect jerseys.
Won a World
maybe,
Series.
Maybe they're getting the kids that way.
Won a World Series 20 years ago.
Hey, at least they won one.
The second worst World Series I've seen of my lifetime.
Very boring.
At least in the 90s, those Yankees teams were destroying people, and it was kind of fun. You know, it's like if Mahomes wins the Super Bowl by 30, you're like, but yeah, did you see that behind-the-back pass he threw? Like, that was cool.
I'm trying to find this article, something that I saw
like
earlier today.
White Sox Astros World Series or Patriots Rams Super Bowl. Like, what do you want to watch?
Just inject your main dye right into my veins.
I'd rather watch that. I'd rather watch that. At least Clemens and Pettit were on the losing team.
Yeah, they had some names. Like Frank Thomas, you know, was on the White Sox at the time still.
But good God, Brady Goff in the Super Bowl, like, blow my brains out.
I almost made $3,000 in that first quarter. If they would have totally gone scoreless.
Oh, from squares?
Yeah. $3,000 would have been coming to me. So screw that field goal or touchdown at the end. It was a field goal at the end of that first quarter.
Squares is how I gamble. I love random. Yeah. Random gambling is the best game.
Agreed. Very, I love the lottery tickets.
Very weird that you said Brady Goff in the Super Bowl because I went to high school with a guy named Brady Goff. And so I was like,
stud.
I'm like, you're like, what? That guy was in the Super Bowl?
What the hell? News to me. God, I could have
sworn. That guy's favorite TV show is Battlestar Galactica. Why is he on the Rams?
I could have sworn that I saw the White Sox.
Hey, Katie Sackhoff from Portland,
that,
too, right?
You like that BSG reference?
I like that.
I just started season 3. I'm rewatching.
Damn it. I could have sworn that the White Sox just hired someone to their front office that has zero baseball experience.
Kenny Williams? See that, what I did there?
He's on one. See he's on a I roll right now. Go no, Gage I gotta Anderson! Find it. Damn it! This Gage is gonna kill Anderson! Me. I could have sworn I just saw something.
What is he like, some finance bro?
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not. It would not shock me. But yeah, the White Sox. Isn't it funny where it's like you fielded a team so bad, and you were so bad that you lost so much money that you can't make your team better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
you're so
is
bad.
A bunch of, which is a bunch of bull crap.
Right.
But still, it is funny.
They're
it's
all
like,
billion-dollar franchises.
It's like, wow, Chicago. What a concept. Like, when you don't have a good product, people don't buy the product anymore, and you lose money, and you don't make as much money as before. Maybe you should either cut back on expenses or
you
invest in your product more. I don't know.
I mean, other than Andrew Benintendi, can you name a player on the White Sox right now? Because I can't.
Well, Luis Robert Jr.
Duh.
Garrett Crochet.
Well,
damn it.
Is anybody really looking
is
at...
Is Lance Lynn a White Sox?
Is he still? No, he can't be.
Just throwing that out there.
No, I felt like he was a deadline deal.
According to, speaking of Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr., Getz told MLB.com earlier this year, what Garrett has done, it's a bold statement that he's become this, what he's become this year. And arms like that don't just come around. The interest perhaps could be even stronger, being that it's the off season and the urgency can change for a handful of clubs. So now you're telling me Crochet's on the market.
You know what, Getz?
Like you got him. Like, just take him from us.
Guy hired Pedro Grifol. I don't trust anything he says.
I do got Grady's ladies running the show, though.
I love that.
I love me some Grady Sizemore.
His ejection was actually pretty sexy.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Like the gum throw.
Yeah.
Like the swearing. I'm just like.
He's got those really bright lips, too, so it's like, oh, I bet he's a good kisser.
I'm sure he's when he's 60, he's going to look like he's 40, and he's still going to be pulling.
A line from Bob Uecker, or Harry Doyle, as we should say, Grady Sizemore has a shimmy that makes the women in Cleveland go crazy. That was my fantasy baseball team for years, Grady's ladies.
On a tangent to Cleveland, did you
my
see
tangent or your tangent?
My tangent.
Okay, your new one.
Yes. Did you hear the home run call for Kyle Manzardo the other day
from the all-time great Tom Hamilton?
Yes, it was fantastic.
I did. It's almost as good as. But there's something about corner of Carnegie and Ontario. It's a great day for Cleveland baseball, and that's brought to you by some old people that own a furniture shop two blocks down the road. Yeah, dude.
Is that the actual read?
No. But it is the corner. But it is the corner of Carnegie and
brought
Ontario.
To you by two old people that own a furniture.
They
store.
He always says, and tonight's seventh inning stretch is brought to you by Wilson Furniture. They've been around since 1956.
Tom Peterson and Glorious too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that.
Yeah, White
Sox. The Yankees
Sox.
Are like brought to you by Saks Fifth Avenue and brought to you by Gloria Tom. Yeah, you know, like it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, did you see the Jeff Passan article about how they're trying to get through the season?
Mm-mm.
With Chicago?
Yes. So Jeff Passan put out an article today trying to laugh it off on the South Side.
Oh, God.
He discusses how the White Sox are using humor to try not let their potential record-setting losing season wear on them. You have to have a sense of humor, Davis Martin said. You walk that fine line of being on the edge of losing your mind, always on the razor's edge. We're just watching it all, and we're like, oh, my gosh, this happens and this happens. Truly, it's so many things.
Well, when you got guys falling asleep in the clubhouse, I guess it's kind of a funny organization. Right?
Are we talking about the White Sox here, or is this a continuation of the final half hour of primetime today in the club about people swimming ashore that should be left for dead?
Over two games with the team last week, the clubhouse of perhaps the losingest team ever was not dour or depressed, not like one might expect from a group transcending baseball notoriety and permeating the grander sporting consciousness. White Sox players were shockingly well-adjusted, angry at the results, but not brooding, embarrassed by the losses, but refusing to roll over, handling their misfortune in a reasonable, healthy, mature fashion.
They just lost 16 in a row.
And not like losers who could cast blame and fight one another, as have past White Sox teams.
While I was driving around this Pacific Northwest, chasing this stupid little band that I love to chase, future Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees in October, just saying, I caught Major League Baseball Network on my Sirius XM, and they were interviewing Tommy Pham of the Kansas City Royals. And they're talking to him about, you know, they're asking about Bobby Witt and, you know, what's it like playing on a contender? And they were like, you know, how was the change from being on a struggling team to a team in contention? And Tommy Pham did everything in his power to not say, bleep the White Sox. And I don't love Tommy Pham.
We
ain't taking that. But he did everything in his power to not say, bleep those guys.
Well, can you blame him? It's unbelievable. But Tommy Pham might be the good guy in this situation.
Might be the good guy.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson's out of the league. And he's like, well, at least I ain't playing for the White Sox.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, they might say, well, hey, they won like three in a row.
They won three in a row. So, did they play today? Are they playing the Angels?
That's
Reed Detmers got called out by his manager last night because they got smoked by the White Sox. White Sox are losing 3-0 right now to the Angels.
Oh, come on. Well, at least they're having a good time.
Having a good time with their friends.
I swear to God, I got to find this damn article, man. I swear they hired some rando that has never worked in it. Maybe it was an Onion article. That would be amazing. That would make
the White
more
Sox
sense
are
at this
so
point.
Bad that Onion articles look like real articles.
They're starting to become true. Yes, exactly. You gotta have a sense of humor about it.
All right, we got a loaded second hour coming up. We got two rivalry teams that are yelling at each other, and boy, it's fun to kind of just watch with some popcorn. And is there anybody in the National League that can win the MVP that's not named Shohei Ohtani? I might be able to have somebody for you that. But also, fair or foul. Loaded second hour, don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.